Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Are you going to say the first word, or I guess I am now?
Fine, I guess I will. Hello and welcome to the PHNX D-backs podcast right here on PHNX. My name is Derek Montilla, occasionally known as a sad boy. That's B-O-I. This guy over here, he's my vice sad boy. He's also known as Thunderstick Jesse Friedman.
That was rough, Derek.
That wasn't great.
It was very, very familiar. It's like watching the same movie like over and over and over again. But it's like your least favorite movie.
And you're expecting the ending to be different?
Yeah, and you like have like, a hope that somehow that the movie will get better when you watch it for like a second, third, or tenth time, but it never does.
Right, no, it doesn't. This show is very depressing, of course. We are brought to you by the fine folks at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use our code of PHNX. You get all sorts of wonderful goodies. That's America's top-rated sportsbook app. Oh, Jesse, it's not just one heartbreaking loss in this series. It's two. This was a five-game series that we were very worried about. And to be honest, if we want to start looking at silver linings and accentuating the positive, this was a very winnable series for the Arizona Diamondbacks that they actually played pretty well in, right? It's just some disastrous late-inning situations led what should have been a 4-1 series victory for the Diamondbacks into a 3-2 series loss for the D-backs to the Dodgers.
So yeah.
It was just there was a lot of things here that were encouraging, but it's hard to be encouraged after seeing, you know, Zach Gallen have the tremendous day he had only to have it, you know, pissed away there at the end of the game.
It was a tremendous day, and I don't want to lose.
It was Galentine's Day.
It was Galentine's Day, and it was the best Galentine's Day that I can ever remember. I mean, he set a career high with 8 innings pitched. Zach Gallen somehow.
13 strikeouts.
That was also a career high. Somehow, Zach Gallen had never thrown more than 7 1/3 innings in his career before tonight. He's been obviously an excellent pitcher for a number of years, but he's been mostly a 6 or 7 inning type of a guy, mostly a 6 inning guy up to this point.
If there was a weakness that we could say he had in his game, it was the fact that sometimes when he went late, that's when you would see him kind of fall apart a bit there. So he didn't tend to have that longevity to his game.
13 strikeouts though. I mean, I think he had 18 whiffs. He still isn't really throwing his changeup anymore, which kind of baffles me because a year or two ago, that was what Zach Gallen was known for. If any one pitch, you know, really stood out in his arsenal, it was the changeup. And he threw two of them today, and he threw one of them, I believe, in his last start. But his curveball is good enough that apparently he doesn't need any other secondary pitches. I guess he throws the cutter too, but I mean, it's basically two different types of fastball. And the curveball and the Dodgers were just off balance all night. And I know there's a number of people, including possibly ourselves, wondering, you know, should the Diamondbacks have just brought Zach Gallen out for the ninth inning? Derek, I'll let you take the first stab at that question.
I think the problem here is, and I think it was Strom's Lab on Twitter said it best. Really what we're looking at is a team that has really done nothing to address their bullpen situation.
Yeah.
They don't really even have any kind of, they're not adapting to this season. They're not trying to put guys maybe that are starters or, you know, maybe starting quality pitchers out there in the bullpen. You know, Caleb Smith has been good at times. There's been some couple of guys you can say that about. Even Reyes Maranta has been very good for this team considering he was a DFA candidate from the Los Angeles Dodgers that the Diamondbacks picked up. But that's the problem, right? To have Reyes Maranta as your number one option tonight in this situation just shows how lost this bullpen truly is as far as guys that they can count on and who can they truly turn to when they, you know, when the game is on the line and they really just need to get through one inning without giving up a run. Obviously, that didn't work out for him tonight. Reyes Maranta didn't work out. Joe Mantiply didn't work out. Nothing in this bullpen seems to work out. And I understand.
It's a bit of an understatement.
I can only imagine the frustration, you know, for Mike Hazen, for Torey Lovullo, right? Like, I know a lot of people want Torey Lovullo's job after tonight, right? I know a lot of people are so mad about him not sending Zach Gallen back out there. And to be honest, I don't see a reason why, but then if it goes the other way and then Zach Gallen blows the game, then we're screaming at Torey, why didn't he take him out, right?
I don't know if we are, though.
Really?
Like, on a night like this, do you really think people are going to be screaming
if Zach Gallen blew the game after getting the lead there after eight innings?
I mean, if he throws like 125 pitches, like, yes. But if Zach Gallen comes out and gets to like 110 and the Dodgers walk him off, I don't know. Like, that just has a different feel. I mean, Zach Gallen at this point, and what I think a lot of our audience members are probably thinking right now, is that, like, hasn't he earned your trust? Like, do you really believe that Zach Gallen, 98 pitches into one of the most dominant starts of his career, is less effective than Reyes Maranta or Luis Frias or Joe Mantiply or whoever you're going to throw out there right now?
Let me ask you this, though. I mean, of course, hindsight is 20/20, but there not starts this season where Zach Gallen did stay in too long and everything
that's
fell
true,
the fuck apart.
But
and it didn't happen in the ninth inning. It happened in the sixth.
That's
or it happened
true.
In the fifth, right? So there were times where Zach Gallen was cruising and then all of a sudden things fell apart. And we said that. We were like, why didn't you pull him out? You knew you were coming up against the third time through the rotation. Right. So it's easy to question the manager when the things don't go right. Right. Is really what it comes down to. But it's also easy to get mad at this team and easy to get mad about managing this team in this way when you know the bullpen is so ineffective. Right. And that's really what it comes down to, is most people, including these two guys right here, feel like we would have had a much better chance to send Zach Gallen back out there to win. But then there is that questioning of that. Not to mention, we talked to Zach Gallen one time about throwing a no hitter, and he didn't sound like he was willing to put up with that bullshit for over 100 pitches for too long, right? Like, even a no-hitter wasn't important enough to Zach Gallen for him to, like, go out and throw 125 pitches, right, like he said. So I doubt that a game like tonight really is either. But it's the Dodgers. You're on a roll. You're doing so well. 13 strikeouts, a career high. 8 innings pitched, a career high. I would have liked to maybe see him do it too. You know, I'm not going to lie. It's just damned if you do, damned if you don't. To be honest, the Dodgers are just a really good team. And you just got to hand it to them that the fact that when the game is on the line, they seem to be incredibly good at stepping up in those situations, in those come from behind victories. The Dodgers' run differential, Jesse, is like 326 this season.
Yeah.
Plus 300. That's absurd. The Diamondbacks are minus 29, minus 30
something
right
like
now.
Yeah.
And the Dodgers are plus 326. Like, it's just an incredible team. But here's the thing. Is they're showing cracks in their armor, and I feel like that's what we saw in this series. I don't want to try to be that guy that's always looking for the positives, but that's what we do on this show. And you got
to. We're not allowed to look for positives.
You
got to
hand it to a team.
People are angry, and they just want you to be angry with them.
Well, okay. Here, maybe this will make you less angry, because our friends from Cespedes Family Barbecue had some things to say about the Arizona Diamondbacks on Twitter tonight. And that was, judge this, Pujols that, Dodgers juggernaut, whatever. I'm focused on crafting my 2023 NL champion Arizona Diamondbacks hot take. This man didn't say 2024, Jesse. He didn't say 2025. He said 2023. Chuckle all you want, but have you watched Zach Gallen?
Yeah. He was just, I mean, he was on another level.
He really was.
In this game. It was really incredible. And I think it does build confidence for next year, right? Even though the Diamondbacks don't win this series, which it still baffles me. We just played a 5-game series with the Los Angeles Dodgers in 4 days. This is a wild
minor league shit. Like, it felt like where you play,
six-game series or something. I'm told the Diamondbacks won't be playing the Dodgers tomorrow. I'm not sure if I actually believe that, but that's what I'm told.
There's a positive. The Arizona Diamondbacks do not play the Dodgers anymore this season.
There you go.
We did it. It's over. The nightmare is over. So,
but it does, like,
that.
I think this series, and even though it had such a tragic ending, the Diamondbacks will open next season playing 8 of their first 10 games against the Dodgers.
Why are you like this?
But
why are you like this?
I am saying this in a positive manner because this was a series that follow me here.
All right, I'm giving you. Go ahead.
This was a series where the Diamondbacks held their own against the Dodgers.
Absolutely.
And even though they did blow a couple of games, they really looked like they could hang in there. And I know the Dodgers, you know, Mookie Betts was out of the lineup today. You know, they might be taking their feet off the gas just a little bit here down the stretch. But it looked like a team that the Diamondbacks could compete with even on the road. And that's not something that we've seen in a long time. I mean, when the D-backs won a game in this series on Tuesday, it was the first time they beat the Dodgers at Dodger Stadium in more than a year. And at this point, even though this series leaves a sour taste in your mouth, going into next year, the D-backs are going to remember this. And they're going to remember, you know, the pain of a game like this, but they're also going to remember being right there, you know, late in all of these games. Really, only the first game of this series where the Dodgers actually under control or in control the entire way. So I think it's a positive overall going into next year, just knowing that you have a shot against a Dodgers team that is, frankly, one of the best baseball teams that we've probably seen in more than a decade. I mean, this 2022 team is just ridiculously good.
Tyler heard in our comments that earlier today, the Giants called up Shelby Miller for their bullpen.
I did see that.
So at least, I mean, there's that. at least we're not doing that.
Shelby Miller's pitched pretty well for them in AAA, but I don't know. At this point,
Giants fans are crazy mad about this team. And I think that's hilarious considering that they're just 1 year removed from one of the best seasons that they've
ever
had.
From winning 107 games.
And they're already mad at their ownership group for not putting a competitive team on the baseball field. And I am like, hi.
Giants fans are just utterly spoiled.
Calm your shit down, okay? But let's take a look at the numbers in this series because, like Jesse said, the Diamondbacks really did hang in with the Dodgers in this one. That win-loss total really feels like it should be swapped. It really feels like it should be 4-1.
It could be 4-1.
To be honest, and it could be. But the starting pitching ERA, Madison Bumgarner, who we have not talked about, was very, very good. Zach Gallen was very, very good. They have gotten some very good starting pitching.
Dre Jameson very, very
was
good.
Incredible in the series. So really, the offense didn't show up in a few games, and they just had disastrous innings, it feels like. An eighth inning here, a ninth inning there that fell apart that really led to two losses.
Look at the batting average with runners in scoring position. I mean, that's your series right there, right?
Yeah,
the Diamondbacks
really
hit 149 with runners in scoring position in the series. They were 7-47. That's a lot of opportunities. And I know it's a five-game series, but 47, that's a lot of at-bats with runners in scoring position in a five-game series. The Dodgers only had 36 or 37, I believe it was. But yeah, the D-backs just couldn't come through in some of those big moments where it counted. And as we saw in this one, you know, the Dodgers are at their best late in the game, especially, you know, facing this version of the Diamondbacks bullpen, which is pretty tough to watch.
I brought up Bumgarner. Six innings pitch, one earned run, one walk, five strikeouts, one hit.
Yeah.
Very good day for Madison Bumgarner.
It was a really good day.
And I guess I kind of joked on Twitter about is Mad Bum hashtag good again? And that upset a lot of people. And I know why. But
because he still has like a ERA of around 7 in his last 10
like
starts.
That, something like that. Or maybe the way that we compared numbers to other guys' numbers who recently just got DFA'd by the Chicago White Sox. But we won't talk about that. What we want to talk about is how he was very good. And it's weird that Madison Bumgarner now is, for me, is in a similar position as like the rookies, where it's like, all right, this is encouraging. Let's see what happens the next outing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to get too excited about a good outing, but at the same time, I will say that Madison Bumgarner is a very capable pitcher who has been trying some things this season to be more effective. And in reality, those might be the things that are causing him the issues. So
yeah,
who knows if maybe getting back to the basics for him and doing what he's used to might help out. He looked very good
in this series. This was a different game for Mad Bum in my mind, because we've been talking for a while about there was an instance where Mad Bum was skipped in order to work on some things with Brent Strom, right? We saw him come back. He kind of looked like the same pitcher. This was the first start to me where Mad Bum didn't look like the same pitcher. Like, he was actually trying different stuff out there. The man threw his curveball more than any other pitch in that start, which Mad Bum has like a pretty solid curveball, but it's, at least in my memory, it's never been a primary pitch for him or even really a secondary pitch. Like four seamer, cutter, those are usually his main offerings, with the curveball kind of being a distant third most of the time. But it was a really, really good pitch for him in that game. And I don't think the Dodgers were expecting it. I think they were like, this is not the Madison Bumgarner that we're used to facing, and they just didn't know what to do with it.
We talked about Dre Jameson changing up in his start, going with the more sliders than fastballs that he did in his first start of the year, right? So, like, baseball is kind of a game of that. You do have to kind of come in with a game plan, and you do have to kind of take your opponent a bit by surprise, because there is a lot of footage on you. They've seen you a lot, especially.
Yeah. Especially the Dodgers have seen a lot of Mad Bum.
A lot of Mad Bum, right? So. But yeah, it was, there was just so much encouragement. There's so much encouraging things happening in the series for the Diamondbacks, even for them to come out losing the series 3-2, right? And that to me, as I say that out loud, it sounds like loser talk. I get it, right? But what I'm saying is that they really did play the Dodgers well. And this is a team that has a payroll that's a third of what the Dodgers is. The guys that are doing it, the guys that were effective in the series, Corbin Carroll, Jake McCarthy, Dre Jameson, these are guys that are going to be part of the Diamondbacks organization for a long time. Hopefully, a very long time.
We saw Corbin Carroll get booed this series.
We did.
At Dodger Stadium.
Get used to it, Dodgers fan. You're going to be booing that guy for years.
First of many.
Oh, you're going to fucking hate him. You're going to hate him so much, and we're going to love him, and we're going to love how much you hate him, but... one guy that the Dodgers fans absolutely love to hate is Christian Walker, because he abused the Dodgers. He once again did it in the series, and he was a big part of the offense. He is our DraftKings king of the series, because this guy, 300 batting average, 2 home runs, almost had the winning home run in this game, which we were very excited about.
Do a crew chief review for that dinger,
crew chief review that, pal. Buddy. 4 RBI in this series. But again, the Diamondbacks, they definitely got a lot of production from the team. Once again, it was a team effort. Christian Walker just once again proved that he loves to hit the ball in LA.
This might make people angry again. I know we're sort of on a positive side, but I just somehow I'd forgotten for a second that Jake McCarthy was thrown out stealing second base.
That Christian Walker homer. That would have been 2 runs.
Could have been a 2-run shot. Now, granted, Mookie Betts' single might have brought in 2 runs anyway.
Right. Who knows how the entire game transpires.
But yeah, you
point,
probably
right?
play the 9th inning a little bit differently if you have a 2-run lead as opposed to a 1-run lead.
Yep.
I'm not done, though. Can I talk a little more about the bullpen?
I would love it if you talked more about the bullpen.
All right.
As long as you're going to bash them and say mean things.
I am sort of going to do that.
Let's go.
So here's the deal, right? The Dodgers in this game used 4 relievers. It was Evan Phillips, Alex Vesia, Brustar Graterol, and Craig Kimbrell, right? Those are the 4 relievers that the Dodgers used in this game.
It's Graterol, Bob Brenly.
Yes. I think you said Graterol. But we've also mispronounced a few names on the PHNX D-backs podcast.
Derek has. I never have.
Derek has many times.
They're saying it wrong. They're pronouncing their own names.
My point is that I'm pretty confident, Derek, that all 4 of those relievers that I just mentioned, you got, let's face it, you guys probably didn't even know Evan Phillips or Alex Vesia, right? Like, that's not like a staple
in
your
mind. You don't
know
who they are. Don't pretend like you did.
Yeah, don't pretend like you did, right? But all 4 of those, all 4 of those relievers would probably be on the top 10 list of Diamondbacks relievers of all time.
Of all time, you said.
Potentially. At least, like, and I know some of them don't have, like, a long track record, but Evan Phillips has a 1.24 ERA.
In how many games, Jesse?
It's, like, 50 or 60
52,
innings. Like, he's done this for the entire season. If Evan Phillips were on the Diamondbacks, he would be... like their best reliever by a mile. It wouldn't even be close. And then you have Alex Vesia, who's a lefty for the Dodgers. Over the last 2 years, if you put those 2 years together, it would be the best 2-year span by a left-handed reliever in Diamondbacks history. I'm pretty confident saying that. And it's Alex Vesia. Like, this isn't Aroldis Chapman. This isn't like a household name. that's just how good the Dodgers have been at putting together a bullpen. And then Brewster Gratterall, right, comes in. He throws 102 miles an hour. Poor Corbin Carroll probably didn't see that in Reno a few weeks ago, right? And he's just like, he just came back from injury. He's not even like their ninth inning guy, right? Yeah. You could make an argument that Craig Kimbrell is the worst reliever on the Los Angeles Dodgers. He has a 4.14 ERA at this point. Yeah, statistically, he actually might be. But it's just crazy that like the Dodgers are so good at putting together a bullpen, and the Diamondbacks have been so, so bad at putting together a bullpen. And this is not just this year, Derek. It's not last year. It's not just the last few years.
Historically,
since the Diamondbacks' inception, and if you've read my articles, you've probably seen me say this, since the Diamondbacks' inception in 1998, according to wins above replacement, no team has fewer wins above replacement from the bullpen than the Arizona Diamondbacks. That is over almost 30 years now, right there, I guess. What are we at this point? 25. This is the 25th season in D-backs history. Over 25 seasons, the Diamondbacks bullpen has essentially been the least productive in all of baseball. And it's about time the Diamondbacks ownership, Mike Hazen, the front office, that they figure out how to fix this problem. And it's not just this regime, right? I can't just pin this on Mike Hazen. No. It's been like this for years, and the Diamondbacks need to find a way to get over this, or it's just going to keep happening, right? We're just going to keep coming on here talking about Zach Gallen throwing 8 dominant innings and just seeing the whole thing fall apart in the ninth inning, right?
I don't want to.
We don't want to watch this movie again. We've seen the movie too many times at this point in the season, and it's gone on far, far too long in Arizona.
Here's the thing. Not only is it that bad as far as the bullpen goes, but tonight in this game, Reyes Maranta was the Diamondbacks' best option to come out there. And this is
I don't think any of us would even argue with that.
No, like, I think that's what most of us probably wanted to see, at least, again, it being with all transparency, it's what the two of us wanted to see. We were saying it when they decided to pull Zach Gallen out of the game. We were like, either leave Gallen in or at least go to Maranta if you're going to go to somebody, right? Well, that didn't work out. And it starts to feel... We start to feel a bit like Torey Lovullo, where it's like, is anything ever going to work out? Can any suggestion be the right suggestion? But that's how good the Dodgers are, is that the Diamondbacks' number one option tonight in a game where they had a lead against the Dodgers in the ninth inning was somebody that the Dodgers recently DFA'd.
Oh, my gosh.
Because they have such an abundance of talent that Reyes Maranta did not fit in. And yet over here, as part of the Diamondbacks, he is one of their most consistent relievers. That just shows the gap as far as where the Diamondbacks are and where the Dodgers are. The Dodgers, though, have plenty of experience of blowing games, blowing important games late after they do have a lead, going through the same thing that the Diamondbacks have, right? So it's like the Dodgers, I feel like, have tried to do everything they can to proactively make their bullpen as good as you've described with all of those pieces, with all of those names that you've never heard of before that are doing it at the level that they're doing it, right? But it's not like the Diamondbacks haven't tried. It just doesn't work out, right?
Yeah.
And trust me, also, it's easy to say, stop hiring, stop giving money to guys that are at the tail end of their career to come in here and be closers. But it's not like they haven't tried to address the issue at the same time. Shit, Mike Hazen went out and got 2 closers this offseason.
Yeah.
And that still didn't work out.
I know it's easy to look back on that now and be like, oh, I mean, Ian Kennedy, Mark Melancon are so
those are old guys. Why'd you pick up these veterans? Melancon led the league in saves last season.
Yeah.
Last season, 2021. It's like, it was right there.
In the defense of Mike Hazen, that's a great point. Like, let's not pretend that we weren't all thinking about how great it was that the Diamondbacks had not one but 2 closers coming into this season, right?
I made several jokes about it.
Yeah.
I know the words. Well, if one guy doesn't work out, we got another guy. Fucking flew out of my mouth jokingly. But anyway, we thank you guys again for being here. If you guys are members of PHNX, we thank you for that. We love you for that. We've talked about our meetup tomorrow. We're going to talk about that some more. But if you're a member already, you're the best. If you're not a member, sign up. Get yourself a month-to-month membership. You can get your first month for just 50 cents. Jesse was telling people like that, and they said, 50 cents, that's it? I'm in.
Yeah,
right?
I was amazed. It's like, some people were like, wait, really?
50
like,
cents? That's it.
Which I have to applaud people today because, you know, as someone who writes articles that are frequently behind a paywall, you just have to be ready on Twitter that you're gonna tweet out an article and someone's gonna want to read it, and they're gonna see that it's behind a paywall, and they're just gonna get really mad at you, and they're just gonna heckle you in the comments, right? But today that didn't happen. People were like, "Well, I'm not a subscriber." But, you know, and they made some.
We have the best followers on Twitter.
We really do.
You guys are the best. I don't know about the other beats. I apologize for them and their followers, but we have the best followers. You guys,
yeah, I basically
always
just
have
told
a good attitude about it.
I just said, like, you can get your first month for 50 cents. People are like, okay, done. Mm-hmm. I was like, wow, is it always this easy to like get new members?
Just ask nicely. Just be nice. and you can also get a annual membership, and you'll get yourself a free t-shirt from the phnxlocker.com. So if you've thought about picking one of those up, you might as well get the membership along with it. Regardless of your membership status, you will get access to our members only Discord, which is always a great place to be, as well as members only discounts over at the phnxlocker.com. If you're here right now with us in the chat, we appreciate you guys for being here, staying up late with us on this special PHNX D-backs After Dark episode. If you're subscribed to the channel, awesome. If you haven't done already, do so. Make sure to sign up for notifications, that way you don't miss when any of our shows go live. And if you're listening to us right now on your favorite audio podcasting app, we appreciate you as a listener. We thank you. And please subscribe on your favorite app and leave us a 5-star review. Jesse, another bad thing about that ninth inning, it officially eliminated the Arizona Diamondbacks from playoff contention this postseason.
Well, I was still holding out some hope. You know,
I had some hope
you
too.
You still figured that if the Brewers
he's
and
joking,
the Phillies
I'm not. I
lost
still,
13 consecutive games,
right? See,
Diamondbacks won out.
I told
you never
he
know.
Was, he wasn't being honest. I was being honest. I still had hope. I still believed. I never stopped believing until that E is next to the Arizona Diamondbacks name, and unfortunately, that E has appeared. But let's talk a little bit about some of these other playoff matchups, because it's interesting. There is still, like you said, the Philadelphia Phillies and the Milwaukee Brewers seem to be engaged in a little something. San Diego is still in that mix. So
D-backs have a chance to play spoiler. They finished the season against the Milwaukee Brewers. So
that's right.
Yeah, they have a shot to actually still impact the playoff picture at this point.
Or maybe if the Brewers winning gets them into the playoffs and eliminates the Padres, maybe the Diamondbacks just lay down like Kevin Nash did for Hulk Hogan. You know what I mean? Finger poking doom. Just go down for the series, let them walk over you and right into the playoffs over the Padres.
Right now, the Padres have a half game lead over the Phillies. The Phillies they've won their last two games, but they sort of nosedived for a little bit before that. So the Padres have now hopped over the Phillies, but yeah, I mean, you know, there's still a couple weeks. Some things could change hands, and who knows? Maybe the D-backs have an opportunity to try to get the Brewers into the playoffs, and you know, try to screw the Padres in the process. We'll see.
There's a lot of interesting storylines. Tampa Bay making it into a wild card spot. Seattle making it into the wild card spot. Toronto.
Oh, the Mariners.
Oh, the Mariners. Yeah,
they. I met a lot of Mariners fans when I was living in Washington. And honestly, there's not that many of them, at least like in my immediate circle there. Everyone roots for the Seahawks, and they're like unaware that Seattle has a local baseball team.
Oh my
God. They don't actually know it's a thing. But poor Mariners.
These are people in their 20s, aren't they? They have to be.
It's sort of a mix.
If you grew up in the 90s, there's no way you don't know the Mariners, but that's an old.
That's fair.
Okay.
That's fair. But yeah, no. The more I think about it, like older people, they've had their scars from rooting for the Mariners over the years, so they probably knew who they were. But anyway, the Seattle Mariners haven't made the playoffs since 2001, so I just have to give them a little shout out. Looks like they're in good position.
They're in
this
good
year.
Position, and interestingly enough, the next team that could make it in instead of them is the Baltimore Orioles, who have had a fantastic season. The Baltimore Orioles and the Arizona Diamondbacks were fighting for last place at this time. Last season, right?
So crazy.
The fact that the Orioles are four games out of a wild card spot, and the Diamondbacks just now today were eliminated from playoff contention, just goes to show how far those two teams have come, you know, and how much they've kind of bounced back. When you look at how many teams are below them, how many teams were there last year too, right? Like the Nationals were one of the bottom teams. Pittsburgh was. These teams are still at the bottom. Right. Oakland. These are all teams that were there last year. Baltimore and the Arizona Diamondbacks have both had the best bounce back seasons of any team, with obviously Baltimore being 7 games over .500 being a much better bounce back season.
Pretty wild. Also, Kyle Bradish for the Baltimore Orioles today had a perfect game going. He finished with 8 2/3 innings in that game. So, yeah, speaking of guys you maybe never heard of who are like really, really, really good. yeah, Kyle Bradish, pretty incredible outing for him tonight for Baltimore.
Aaron Judge has been doing incredible things for the New York Yankees. One thing I find to be kind of funny as a person that, I mean, don't get me wrong, my bloodline ties back to being a Yankees fan deep down inside.
Yeah, we've heard about your dark past at times.
I don't try to hide my past. I just try to embrace it and learn from it and get better as a person, right? But there are a lot of people mad about Aaron Judge being the big story in baseball this year, and I kind of find that funny because how is he not? I mean, is he not? Is he not the big story in baseball? Like,
and Ohtani, right?
I guess, but Ohtani's
old news, though.
Ohtani isn't, at the very least, Ohtani isn't doing all this for a team that's winning their division and going into the postseason, right?
Yeah. I mean, the Angels were somehow eliminated before the Diamondbacks were. Yeah. So.
It's not good for them over there in Anaheim, right? But. Definitely. I get what people are saying. Shohei Ohtani is always going to be up there. He's always going to be there, but there's times where, you know, you kind of give the guy that's having the special moment for his team. I think it's just one of those things that a lot of national sports writers give it attention, and then that pisses a lot of people off that like so much attention is being driven.
I mean, he's in New York, you know. I mean, there's just like it's a perfect recipe for Aaron Judge to get all of the baseball headlines from the national media for like several months, which is basically what's happened. But I guess he's having an okay year.
It's an all right year.
You know, 60 homers, I guess. I guess that's worthy of some notoriety. So,
all right.
Been pretty incredible.
Who do you think is poised to have a magical run in the playoffs, Jesse?
Ooh, who is poised to have a magical run in the playoffs? I still think the New York Mets are a pretty interesting team. There have been some health issues, obviously, with Scherzer and DeGrom, but I mean, those two guys are about as dominant of a 1-2 punch as you'll find. And of course, in the playoffs, that's huge. And Diamondbacks fans know that better than anyone. If you have a dominant 1-2 punch in the postseason, you can get pretty far.
We
even
know,
if you
we
have
know
some
a
other
thing or two about
places.
That. Yeah, for sure, for sure.
And everyone wants to see the trumpets in the playoffs, like throughout all of October.
Give
There's nobody who doesn't want to see that.
Yeah,
so
no, you're not wrong about that.
The Dodgers, as good as they are right now, and as genuinely like incredible as this team is, you can still kind of see how in the playoffs some things could go wrong for them. Their starting rotation depth is pretty solid. Tony Gonsolin, I think, is still on his way back from injury, but you're still at a spot where like, okay, you know, Tyler Anderson's had this outstanding season, but like, is Tyler Anderson gonna, you know, start big games in the postseason? Like, I don't know if they're totally ready to go there yet.
I feel like you're just picking on guys that play for the Dodgers that have two first names. Like it's like Tyler Anderson.
I guess Anderson is a first name.
I mean, Anderson Cooper. There's
Anderson
a very
Cooper. Can you think of another Anderson? Than
I don't
Anderson
need to
Cooper?
Because that guy has
Anderson
a
Pack.
Show. Anderson Pack.
I have no idea. Who
exactly.
Anderson
of
is.
Course.
Why should I even do this with
of
you?
Of course.
Why should I even tell you names of famous people that you don't even know? It's not a game I'm going to play with you tonight.
Yeah. Well,
Evan Phillips. All of these guys. You have a problem with two name first name guys. Anyway,
Tyler, Anderson is a last name far more often than it's
a
first name. But I grant you,
if you have a first name and a last name that are sound like two first names, Jesse's gonna say nobody knows who you are.
Are you about to tell me that you know someone whose first name is Vesia?
I could know someone that knows his name Vesia. You don't know.
I wouldn't have heard of them anyway.
Yeah, that's exactly. Exactly.
Sort of a moot point.
Exactly. This is what my day is like all the time, folks. This is what my text message exchanges with Jesse are like. This is what meetings with him are like. It's like this all the time.
Just me poking and prodding you, right. and then you like answer my question or whatever, and I don't understand your
exactly,
response.
Exactly. I feel like I'm on OGs with this guy all the time, but that's a good thing because OGs make you feel great. And if you haven't had a chance to try out our friends at OGs, they have a brand new line of sleep gummies that are incredible. Take it from somebody who has enjoyed them and digested them and had some very, very good night's sleeps. I told you, Jesse, I have an internal clock that runs at about 6 hours. That's the most I can sleep in one stretch is about 6 hours. And luckily with the Sleep Edition gummies, you won't have that problem because I don't have that problem anymore. Don't sleep on these. They are the brand new aqua berry flavor gummies that have a special formula of 2-to-1 THC to CBN ratio, which CBN is a sleep compound that specifically helps with falling asleep and staying asleep. Michaela asked me the other day if she has a problem with taking indicas and then waking up. I told her she probably shouldn't take this because if she can't wake up on an indica, let me tell you, this particular one knocked me out like a sack of bricks. I don't know. Is that what it's sack of bricks? I don't know. But we recommend you check it out so you sleep like a sack of bricks over at OGs online at OGsBrands.com or on Instagram at OGsBrands. That's O-G-E-E-Z. Find their products at your local dispensary. If you can't, check their website. Must be 21 years or older to purchase. And grab yourself some OGs. Get yourself a great night's sleep. And get ready to join us out at Four Peaks Brewing Company at the A Street Pub for our ASU tailgate party. Come out to Peaks Tailgate this Saturday to get to will this ASU team on. They need your help. They need your support. They need to beat Utah. That's what they need to do. So $50 gets you access to the full buffet. The buffet is loaded, Jesse.
This is still the most wild deal in PHNX
pizza,
history right here.
Nachos, chicken wings, grilled chicken sandwiches, pulled pork, barbecue sandwiches, dessert, including cheesecake and donut holes. Plus, you'll get 2 4-piece
pumpkin
beers.
Porter cheesecake.
Yeah.
Don't skip over that.
Yeah, this
oh,
is,
yeah.
This
no,
is
you're
not
right.
any cheesecake.
This isn't
Garrett.
Just any cheesecake. It
you
is
all know October's
four
right around
peaks,
the corner.
Pumpkin Porter cheesecake. It's pumpkin season. You guys know that. It's pumpkin. It's PSL season. And the best way to celebrate that is with pumpkin porter cheesecake. But you also get 2 free beers and a ride to the stadium. Plus, like I said, the PHNX Sun Devils guys will be out there cheating at Cornhole. They'll be cheating at Jenga, and they'll be cheating at Connect Four. So keep an eye on them at all times. And I don't know if this deal has passed yet, but it's still in the ad read. So the first 15 people to sign up receive a ticket to the game and a PHNX membership. The next 15 people to sign up will receive a PHNX membership. That's $150 value for $50. I mean, and it's a great Saturday. Let me tell you, it's the best way to spend your Saturday. Click the link in our show notes to sign up. Must be 21 years or older to enjoy, and enjoy responsibly. It's been fun to watch the Chicago White Sox slowly slip away as close as they got
wow.
to their division, Jesse. Because again, misery loves company. Remember that, folks. When you're miserable, you don't want to see people happy. You don't want to see people succeed. And we don't want to see the CHGO White Sox guys happy. They called us lowly. We're petty, and we remember that. And more than anything, we want to see them lose their division so that none of us make the postseason. They might be the best mid-team in our division, but damn it. We're creeping on the come up next season. Actually, they're a young and exciting team too, so we'll see what happens next season. But taking a look at the All City Division, they definitely still seem to kind of have a stranglehold on first place. Rockies,
White Sox aren't making the playoffs though.
They're not making the playoffs.
They're
though.
6.5 games out of the wild card
happening.
At this point. The Orioles are in front of them. Yeah, there's just pretty much no way.
We gave up hope a long time ago, but they're just giving up hope now, so we're just trying to rub it in at this point. The Chicago Cubs, Jesse, out of the cellar, taking over third place, and our friends Patrick and the DNVR Rockies, they slip into last.
Yeah, I don't know if I thought that would happen at any point. Like,
not this season.
Yeah, I pretty much was sold that the Cubs were going to ride the basement the rest of the way, but yeah, the Rockies have not played great. Really, I mean, for the entire season at this point, but the best of the worst. There you go.
Josh said that Derek, it is quite, in fact, the opposite. You should be sleeping on these, including that's sleep gummies. That was a good joke. Ryan says we are the best of the worst. No, the best of the worst. Yeah, the Chicago White Sox, I suppose, but we'll get them.
At
we'll
the
get
end
them
of soon. The day. I mean,
none of us make the playoffs.
It doesn't matter whether you finish with 82 wins or 78 wins or 72 wins. None of them are making the playoffs.
As long as we don't finish with 75 wins. Because if we finish with 75 wins, this guy over here is going to be insufferable.
That was my prediction at the beginning of the season.
We know.
That was my prediction 6 months ago.
You've talked about it. You've brought it up
before. I'm pretty sure I have the ability to predict the future.
Let's take a look. If you did, you'd win more money on these sporting apps. Let's take a look at the schedule coming up to see if the Diamondbacks are going to get to 75 wins. They just hit 70 with their win yesterday.